And welcome to After Hours. Jay Binkley here. Blake Schneiders producing the operation. You got the new EA college football game, Blake, because last night we were checking. There were 662,300 people online during a certain moment of the show. I have no idea what it's at now. A lot of sleepless nights from people.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have been up late lately. I've been doing a lot of Vern, and I'll tell you what, I'm surprised how many people call in so late. So we get a lot of night owls, you know what I mean?
Were you up playing the video game?
No, I don't have it yet.
Oh, I've you got don't
the,
have it yet?
So I don't have the console, apparently. Gotcha. I thought it was come out for all Xbox and all PS PlayStations.
Yeah.
No, apparently Xbox One, not a thing. You got to have the updated version.
Yeah, and we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes later. The Chiefs, the rookies that reported today, and the quarterback reported at camp today as well. Mahomes talked. We'll hear from Mahomes later, but he did bring up the fact that he brought a TV for the first time. So we can do two things. What are those two things?
Watch the Olympics and play college football, baby.
That's right, man. That's right. Home Run Derby last night. We were going through the whole thing, man. Of course, last two rounds, they drug the thing out. I mean, it takes forever. I was home. By the time that, and I live in the Northland, I was home by the time it finally ended. But Bobby Witt Jr., oh, so close. But I don't know if you sat and watched that, Blake, but man, that was exciting, man. That was a great home run derby. Of course, it's going to be fun when it's your guy, you know, a Kansas City Royal in the home run derby. But man, Bobby was that close. The crowd was cheering him on. You know, it's their Texas guy, his hometown. It's only 20 minutes. Colleyville, 20 minutes from where the home run derby was, but that was one for the ages. Just wish he would have won it.
Man, he was, I mean, just a few feet away. And I'll tell you what, not only did I thoroughly enjoy the home run derby more than I have in past years. I mean, obviously as Royals fans, I don't think most of us have enjoyed a home run derby like this since Salvi was in it. And
then we barely got to have fun with it because they didn't
barely
talk
got
about
to because they talked over him the whole time, interviewing Pete Alonso the whole dang
except
time.
Except like at ESPN2, they actually like showed it, but their Nerdcast or whatever they have.
But this one was great because I think I liked the format so much better. I liked the way how the first round was a totally open 8-man scramble.
Yeah, like pitch count
was good, timing was good, and it was full on. Whoever had the most for the eight, the top four got to move on. I really liked that. It gave everybody a good opportunity because had that been, 4 years ago when Salvi was in it, he would have easily been the 2 seed.
Yeah, he would have been, and it was fun how it went. It was fun watching FanDuel's odds. We were watching Bobby Witt's odds, you know, go up and down. He went all the way down there.
Yeah, I didn't see him. How'd they fluctuate?
Well, they fluctuate where as soon as he hit, they went all the way to the bottom because nobody else had hit yet. And I was looking at Nathan. Nathan and I were like, I wonder how many home runs guys are going to hit. Is anybody going to hit, you know, 30 in the first round or anything? Or is 20 going to be kind of the limit of what people get? Then all of a sudden you see a few more guys hit, and you're like, oh, man, Bobby's got a chance to advance to the next round. And it was fun. There's, you know, pictures of Mahomes there watching on his TV, watching Bobby Baseball go. J.J. Piccolo joined Cody and Gold today. It was Dusty in there with Alex and, you know, talking about the, you know, excitement from his kids and watching it. Man, this whole town was a buzz, just something like that. Now, they want to see winners. I do think this town's got to the point, yeah, it's fun to watch Bobby in the All-Star game and stuff like that. It's going to be fun to watch Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans and Sal Perez. But this is a championship city now. Because remember how it used to be where you have a guy in the All-Star game or even after the World Series where Hosmer hit a home run in the All-Star game, that was the only really good thing that happened to the Royals that year?
Oh, yeah.
But then all of a sudden, the Chiefs rattled off 3 Super Bowls since that All-Star home run by Eric Hosmer. And after the Royals won. But now it's, you know, seeing Bobby Witt Jr. in the home run derby, that gave us something a little fun.
Oh, 100%. And I think one of the good things is that baseball, the All-Star game, the All-Star game voting, I think weighs more and means so much more than how Chiefs fans would look at the Pro Bowl. I think the Pro Bowl has really gone by the wayside. Most guys now, since it's held in between the Super Bowl and the end of the season and not afterwards where everybody can play, it's kind of lost its luster, you know what I mean? And it's not played the same as it was anymore. You don't have Sean Taylor lighting up Brian Moorman on a fake punt screen. You know, like it just doesn't hold the same. But the All-Star game still holds weight. We love watching Bobby Witt Jr. smash home runs. We love seeing the guys. I mean, we got four All-Stars this year, Salvi, Seth, Reagans, and Bobby. And that's going to be so cool to watch today. And I would love to see
it Bobby. Starts here about 55 minutes.
Yeah, we got the pregame going on right now here in the studio. But I'd love to see Bobby capitalize off his momentum from last night, because if you watch the fans around the stadium,
oh yeah,
they were rooting for Bob, man. I mean, hats off to Hernandez, but I'm telling you, Bobby Witt everybody was wanting him to do good. So I'd love to see him capitalize and have a great performance tonight.
He's one of the young stars of the game. It's someone here in, you know, this town. We're very fortunate to have Bobby Witt Jr. and Patrick Mahomes. You have one of the young up-and-coming stars in Major League Baseball. You've got an already cemented star in Patrick Mahomes in the National Football League. It's fun to watch that they're both doing good at the same time. You know, it's fun to watch the GMs doing as good as they're doing with their trades and the moves they're making with Piccolo and with the Brett Veach doing what they're doing. This is good times in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's rare that you get two once-in-a-generational talents in the same city at the same time. You got Patrick Mahomes, once-in-a-generational talent. You got Bobby Witt Jr., once-in-a-generational talent.
And they're not going anywhere. Bobby's got that extension. Mahomes got the 10-year contract. Yeah, they're here for the long haul, and that's the exciting thing about it. Mahomes and the rookie showed up at training camp as Andy Reid, wearing the Hawaiian shirt. We'll hear from him in just a little bit. But they showed up in St. Joe for training camp. It's amazing how fast the offseason goes. It seems like just yesterday they were getting the rings, because it wasn't that long ago. And then it seems like just yesterday they were getting done with OTAs. And it seems like we had the draft not too long ago. You know, we took a month off there in June, talking about the last year's draft, the draft the year before, and it was at the end of April. But then May went so fast. When this team goes all the way until February every year, I mean, it's a short offseason, man. It's time to go. I mean, it was fun seeing the guys on the Chiefs beat again. You know, they got something to go do. They're up to training camp and figuring out places to eat and whatever, and go and covering the Kansas City Chiefs and who's injured today, who isn't. Of course, they got all their pictures in of the equipment trucks going to St. Joe, which I think is a huge waste of time, to be honest with you, because you could just use the year before and the year before that as far as that B-roll. For going up to St. Joe. But that was fun last night, that brought you back to something that, you know, this town was rooting for Bobby Witt Jr. and just sitting, waiting for each home run he was hitting, and just the excitement of seeing your guy, our guy, in the home run derby was just fun. And then, of course, the horrible national anthem that was there. That singer, she checked herself in the rehab today. Did you see that?
Yeah, at least she said she did. I don't know if she's just
saying. What'd she say? She was drunk?
She said she was very drunk. And I don't know if
why would you do that, man?
I mean, I believe that she sounded drunk, that's for sure. I don't know if I believe she's checking herself into rehab, but she's definitely saving face online. So we'll see if that is actually true. But yeah, that wasn't great. A lot of people were comparing her to the Fergie NBA national anthem that was pretty atrocious.
It was rough.
And I feel bad. You know why? Because the national anthem is one, it has to be nerve-wracking. You're up there by yourself, and yeah, you might be a professional singer, but it's one of those songs that just holds so much weight when you sing it that it's always special, and everybody expects a really big kind of rendition, and you don't have to go out of your way to make it all funky and do your own thing. A regular national anthem is always going to be great. So I do feel bad for the poor girl, because nobody wants to see that, and I know she didn't want that.
Unless she was tanked and wasn't ready to sing it. Fesco in the morning, he had guys just calling it off the street.
Yeah.
And they had three of them. I just heard three of them this morning, and they did a great job.
That's what I'm saying. So,
just
like,
out of the blue, pulled their car over and sang the national anthem.
You didn't have to go and, you know, get all slammered up and go sing, but that's what happened, unfortunately. And, you know, this is what it is.
Some other Royals news. MJ Melendez, you might remember in Boston, he was running the first, kind of stretched out the leg. He's on the injured list now. 10 days, sprained ankle, retroactive to July 15th. So that's what happened to MJ Melendez there. Of course, the All-Star game is tonight. Bobby Witt Jr. looking all dapper on the red carpet. You know, they had the red carpet going. He caught up with Greg Amsinger and Harold Reynolds on the red carpet. And this is what Bobby talked about, his threads for tonight. And he talked about home run derby last night on MLB Network just a little bit ago from the red carpet.
Bobby, good to see you, my friend. I like the fit. Let's walk through it, okay? Let's start from the shoes, work our way up. What you got?
Bruno Cuccinelli. Cuccinello? I don't even know. And then one custom suit from a family friend. And then Cartier watch to match. Cartier watch to match with the Cartier shade. So,
well, can we show the watch a little bit?
It'll help. That's the green.
Gorgeous.
Wow. Green matches the green on the suit.
And you got the green glasses.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going a little bit of a green. Help with my fiance and a stylist. So yeah, feeling good.
So you grew up watching us do this red carpet show, right? So would you dream of a day to put on your best form and walk down this red carpet for an all-star game or what?
Yeah, definitely. It's just, it's so cool seeing all the guys and all what they're wearing and everything, and just being doing this in my hometown, and it's a lot of fun.
So Bobby, last night, man, one ball off the wall. It was such an impressive performance. Did you think it was gone?
When I hit it, I really didn't think it was, but then when it was up there, I was like, oh, I might have a chance, but then...
Were you talking to it?
Yeah, I was like, come on, go push or something, do something. Yeah, I need to do a couple extra push-ups today or something.
Well, you weren't alone. I was on the field emceeing it to the house, to the actual stadium, and I screamed to get all 50,000 people on their feet when you were down to your final out. They did. Then you hit two straight homers. Did you feel the crowd in that moment?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think they started playing Timmy Trumpet on the,
yes,
the speaker and everything, and the fans started going, and my adrenaline started pumping. That was a blast. It was just an honor to be a part of it. Tay Oscar put on a show, so it was a lot of fun.
Hey, it was a family affair last night, too. It wasn't your dad, Bobby, with the major leaguer I face, but it was your brother-in-law, right?
James Russell, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Who was a left-handed pitcher,
yes,
who threw to you.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to us about it. Did you and James practice at all? Did he throw you in the winter? How did he get in the groove?
Yeah, so I faced him, I think, 2 years ago, just a little BP. So I thought it'd be cool, a little family affair, you know. Have him, his dad played for the Rangers for a while. He played in the big league, so yep. Getting him back on the mound. So his last ever baseball game was actually 3 years ago on the date. So it was kind of special getting him back on the,
wow,
on the diamond.
Yeah, wow is what I said when Bobby grabbed the microphone right when he got up here. And he told me something before this interview started.
Oh, Lord.
And what did you say to me, Bobby?
I think you're talking about the card I still have in my locker.
Yeah. How about that?
I got to get one of your cards.
What card do you have in your locker, Bobby?
Greg Amsinger autographed one-of-one card in the locker. Not great card condition, but it's in the locker. It's still there.
I got his framed with images of him signing his own rookie card on the wall of my basement.
Man.
We traded cards.
That's pretty good stuff.
Bobby,
good stuff,
man. You're the man, dude.
Thank you, Bobby.
One of the faces of our game, Bobby Witt Jr.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.
Have fun tonight, okay?
Yes, sir, we'll do. Stay cool,
on, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Bobby.
Man, he was all smiles on the red carpet, man.
Well, and hell, he was all smiles last night.
Hey, signing people's autographs. I mean, he just loves being back at his home state. It was great. Greg Amsinger there, you know, emceed the whole thing. I gave him a Cardinals baseball back in 2012 because that's his team. I didn't want any more. He was signed by some cards. He's like, you know what? You can have this. It was Greg Amsinger. But anyway, it was fun to watch. And he has the Cartier. He has the Cartier sunglasses, Cartier watch. Surprised Mahomes didn't give him some Oakleys. But it's Cartier's. I can't imagine how much those are.
Yeah, how can you turn that down?
Cartier watch, Cartier sunglasses.
Watch out. You play well enough, you get a brand deal out of that.
You kidding me? That's crazy stuff. Coming up next, J.J. Piccolo, the Royals general manager, joined Cody and Gold today. It was Alex and Dusty today. And he spoke about the home run derby, his draft, and everything else. We'll hear from J.J. next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Blake Schneiders producing the operation. I think Robin Sedai went to the Twisters premiere tonight. That's a movie. I don't go to the theater very often, like hardly at all. I think Top Gun 2, I did go to that. I went and saw Concussion because they invited us here at the station. Ended up being a terrible movie.
And you didn't like it?
No, it's terrible. And then there's probably a 10 or 15 year drought or 20 year drought that I didn't go to the theater.
See, I'm an avid moviegoer.
Are you?
Yeah.
You can go see Twisters?
I would love to go see Twisters. It probably makes it easier that my girlfriend actually has like free movie tickets.
Oh,
usually.
Really?
So
that
that's
makes
a
it easy.
Little incentive for us to go.
No kidding. But then, do you get discounts on the popcorn and the beers? And
we usually get like free drinks and I think it's discount on popcorn and food mostly.
Do you remember going to the movies and you couldn't get beer? Now most of the theaters you can get beer.
Oh yeah.
You know how much it sucked like going to a bar or something, having a few drinks, and then you're going to a movie.
And you're dead for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And you're like, nah, I'm just taking a break now.
And then you're like, nah, I'll just stay here and drink the beer. Go to the movie. Also, now you can just, you know, carry on there at the movie theater with the beer.
Oh, yeah. That's the best part. Well, that's what's so funny is she's actually a bartender at
Perfect
Johnny's B&B. So on the jazz bar side. So, it's usually
it's jazz bar.
Yeah. Up in Liberty.
Really?
Right next to the landing.
Really?
That's
where we did the draft party.
I know.
I didn't know there was a jazz bar there.
So it's right connected to the Johnny's jazz bar is connected to that Liberty B&B theater.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good. Live music every night.
I do like some jazz.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
I didn't know there was a jazz bar in Liberty.
It's always a good time, Binkley. We'll have to go out there sometime.
Yeah, Liberty's a fun town, man. Liberty's got a lot going on. A lot of good stuff going on with it. J.J. Piccolo, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, joined the afternoon show today. Joined Alex Gold and Dusty was in for Cody. And he talked about Bobby being on the national stage and how proud he was of seeing Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, well, you know, just being here in Kansas City, we get a chance to watch him every night. So, you know, all of my kids, you know, admire Bobby. I mean, he's just such a fun player to watch play the game of baseball, and he does it the right way. But, you know, again, like you said, he's on the national stage. And, you know, I think it's just the beginning of, you know, hopefully the Royals being on the national stage and getting some national games, because it's the more the world sees Bobby Witt Jr. play, the more they're going to realize how special he is, and he truly is one of the superstars in the game. So I think last night was probably just the first step.
No, he truly is. I think the fantasy baseball players know who he is. I don't think they think damn well who he is. It's good to see the nation seeing Bobby Witt Jr. I thought they did a nice job on him last night, kind of introducing him to everybody out there. What an incredible player that he is. JJ also talked about the Royals in the All-Star game tonight. Seth Lugo's going. Cole Reagans is going. Sal Perez is there for his ninth time, the most of any All-Star that's currently at the All-Star game. And, of course, Bobby Witt Jr. It's the first time in Royals history that two starters from the rotation with Reagans and Lugo have been at the All-Star game. So the first time the Royals have got two starters, which is insane for what they've done this year. It's a big reason why they have the record they do so far this season with 65 games to go. But here's JJ on the All-Star game and the Royals in it.
Well, for three of them, it's their first All-Star appearance. So I think that in itself is just a special moment for those three. And they were all very deserving. Obviously, Sal's been there. You know, this is his ninth. So this is kind of old hat to him. But you can see the smile on his face last night, and it's just as special today as it was the first time, or as special tonight as it was the first time. But for, you know, Seth, you know, obviously we were hoping that he would be the starter, but there was some stiff competition, and, you know, to get named the All-Star starter is really a special thing, but it's not going to take away from him coming in and throwing an inning, whether it's the second, third, fourth inning, whenever it is. But it'll be great for him. Cole Reagans, what a great story. I mean, first-round pick and gone through so much adversity, worked his way not only back to being on the field but to the major leagues and now in the All-Star game. It's hard not to, you know, feel a little extra something for him and what it means to him. And then Bobby, it's going to be the first of many. Yeah, so we'll get used to seeing him, you know, in this game for many, many years to come. But, you know, for the organization, it's awesome. I mean, I you know, when I think about the acquisition of those four players, every scouting department's represented, from the international department to the amateur scouting department to the professional scouting department. And I think that speaks volumes about the work we do across the board in acquiring players. And I think it's a neat, you know, diverse pool of players when you think about where they came from in this organization. So it'll be a great night and a great night for the city.
Yeah, it's cool how they got all these guys. Obviously, Sal Perez was picked up as an international free agent back when he was 16 years old. Dayton was the GM now. Then at that point, of course, J.J. Piccolo has been with his team since 06, was part of the front office, part of the scouting in that. Bobby Witt Jr., you know, through the draft, you had Seth Lugo as a free agent. You had Cole Reagans, who was flipped for last year's, I mean, great free agent pickup with Seth Lugo this year. But the year before, how about Chapman? Because Chapman turned into Cole Reagans, who's now in the All-Star game. So the Royals just checking those boxes on bringing in, you know, different talent from different places. That's what's so special about this All-Star game is just how they acquired all this talent. And it's always good to see that. And Hunter Harvey, that's the newest Royals addition. That's the one they just traded the Nationals for. Caden Wallace, the Royals' number two prospects, was traded, you know, in this deal for Hunter Harvey. And if they're still active looking for free agents, this was JJ on that.
Well, first thing is, I mean, think Hunter Harvey represents our biggest ticket item, you know, getting somebody that can pitch in the back end of games. That was the number one priority. He's done it at a very high level. We're very comfortable with what we know about him as a person and as a competitor. I can tell you that today we're going to wrap up the last day of the draft, and tomorrow we're converting that room into our trade deadline war room. So we'll be active and working, and we'll see what comes about. I mean, it's we like our team. We think we can compete, but you're always looking for ways to maybe marginally improve the team somehow, some way. And maybe that opportunity comes, maybe it doesn't, but I know we'll be working hard at it.
I mean, it's a catch-22. You have the draft right here on All-Star Weekend. And then, of course, you got till the 30th of this month for the trade deadline deals. So you kind of got to be doing both at once. Head's got to be on the swivel if you're the general manager. Which direction are you going to go? But I love that I love the moves that he's made so far. His opinions on the draft and the first round draft pick, Jack Haglione, falling to them and how he was surprised. We'll get to that in a little bit later. But coming up next, the first day of Chiefs camp today. The rookies, the quarterbacks showed up to St. Joe. Andy Reid gives a full update on all the rookies, the health of his veteran players, and, of course, a major update on Xavier Worthy. All that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, on After Hours with Blake Sneeders, producing the operation and jamming back there. No pool for you today, Blake?
No pool. I know I look like I just came from the pool, but No, I did not get the pool. I had to work from home, so this is just my comfy clothes.
Well, you're not dressed much differently than I am.
Hey, well, we know how to have a good time.
You dress for the job you want.
We dress like we're ready for some back porch beers, man.
That's right. That's right. You dress for the job you want, my man.
Exactly.
From the 816, I would love for the Chiefs to go undefeated and win the Super Bowl, finishing the three-peat. Yeah, I think a lot of people would. I don't really, you know, going undefeated or whatever, just make the Super Bowl, win it all. That's what matters. But Andy Reid talks about all that and more, including Xavier Worthy. Looks like he's going to be a full go at camp, which is great news for the Chiefs. But here's Andy Reid's press conference when he's on the steps there of the dorm where the Chiefs are.
Well, good to see everybody back and ready to go. Just on the injury front, B.J. Thompson will start on NFI. He's still going through some procedures. He's doing great, but he's going through some procedures as we talk here. So he'll keep going with that, and then we'll keep you updated as we go. On the PUP list, Jalen Watson, Omenihu, Nadi, and Tooney will probably start on that. We still have a few days before all that goes on, but we'll just see where we're at with that. And really, those are kind of the main guys that were injured. Chanel will be up here. Nazi will be up here. And Worthy will be back. He's doing well. You just saw him come in. So he's doing well on his rehab from his hamstring. So all in all, listen, we look forward to being back here. We love the setup here with the people here treat us great at Missouri Western State University. And it's beautiful facilities. It's great to be able to get away and from the city and be able to house guys in the same dorm. And I'm saying this as a coach, they're probably not going to say this, but it builds a certain camaraderie as you go, and you're eating together, you're sleeping in the same building together. So it's you can't help but talk to each other. And in today's world, that's a positive thing. So. Anyways, time's yours.
Andy, what are your expectations for the four guys on PUP that you listed when they might be back?
Yeah, I think they're all a little different. And listen, something might happen different by the time we get the vets in here and we have to do it. I was just giving you a heads up on kind of what we're thinking there on that as we start. So, but we'll see how they all, whether they get cleared or not cleared.
Specifically with Joe Tooney. I mean,
Joe's doing great. And he's close.
So you don't expect it to be long if he can't practice right away?
Yeah, I don't think it will be, but we'll see, Adam. We'll just see how it goes.
Coach, is Xavier Worthy now a full go after missing the OTAs?
Yes. Yeah. We'll ease him in. You know, we're not going to just give him every rep. So the lines are kind of short here. right? So, all right.
Following up on that, yeah. How valuable will this next 3 days be for a player like Xavier before the veterans arrive on over the weekend to just get reps and get time in with Patrick?
Yeah, this is great. I think it's great for all these guys just to get in and become familiar, go through it one more time. And before the veterans get in, everything's going 100 miles an hour. So it's slowed down. They'll get the same install, the first three installs for when the vets get in. So it's I think it's a real positive for everybody, and especially Xavier, who didn't have the opportunity to be out on the field. Just going through those routes and doing what he needs to do there will also be positive.
I know you guys fight complacency, but how in the world? I mean, you guys went two straight Super Bowls, a lot of those guys back. How do you keep guys from to be hungry and still back?
Yeah, so I think we all know in the NFL, every year is its own year. And we've said that every year along the way here. And so you've got to stay on top of your game. You got to practice. You got to go through this camp and be in condition so you can perform well mentally and physically once the games come around. So it all starts from scratch, and it happens over. We talked about it in the off season, and I think the guys will be ready to go.
How much do you rely on guys like Pat and Kelsey, your veteran leaders, to sort of get that message across?
Yeah, they're great with it. That's what I was saying before we had the break. I appreciate that leadership. Chris Jones, Bolton. I mean, these guys that have been around here, they do a nice job with it. When players start helping players out and helping them understand what's going on, normally you have a pretty good thing going, and these guys, we're lucky to have that leadership.
How do you see that? Like, what specifically do you see that you like from those guys?
Yeah, they go 100 miles an hour, and they make everybody around them go 100 miles an hour. So while the coaches are kicking them a little bit, the players are kicking them, and that peer pressure, there's nothing like that.
Andy, where does last year's regular season sit as far as do you mention that to the guys as an example for the ways you need to get better?
So we talked a little bit about it in the off season. That won't be a big thing coming into this camp. The guys know we had our ups and downs. I just expect the young guys that were here last year to continue to build on what they finished with. I thought we finished strong on both sides of the ball and special teams. It's important that you and we had a nice off season where we were able to practice some of the kickoff return stuff, and so let's pick up where we left off and get better.
Andy, what is it about Patrick that makes you know that he's just getting hungrier instead of more satisfied? What's inside him that tells you that?
The one great thing about Patrick is he's always going to work in his game, and then he always wants more. And so, as coaches, you can't ask for more than that. And that's why we're in it. We're trying to give you one more nugget, Vahe, so you can be greater than you already are. Right? So that's what the great players do. They want you to dig as a coach and find something, man. Give me something here that can help me and become better than what I am.
And one other thing just is about where we're standing. I get the feeling if you guys had a 5-star hotel available right here, you wouldn't take it. You'd be here. And there's a reason for that. What is it that you get out of the Spartan aspect of this?
Yeah, well, listen, I don't want to slight the university because they've actually renovated here a little bit and done some things in here.
But your wishes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I look forward to our meeting at the end of this where you guys get a taste of it. But the cinder blocks are still cinder blocks, no matter how you cut it. Well, I'm sure most of us have been in those buildings before, so we... that part hasn't changed. It seems like dorms are kind of that's the way they are everywhere. So
is there something to that though, that it's like you want the conditions to be understood to be kind of grueling?
Yeah, listen, there's a certain toughness that this game requires. and I think if you talk to the old veterans, they're going to tell you, well, it's not as tough as it used to be, but it's there's still a part of it that it's a tough guy sport and lady sport for where we're going with all the flag football and that. So we've got that part of it going, and it's important that you develop that. And if you're fatigued, then you're going to be fatigued mentally. If you're fatigued physically, that's going to affect you mentally. And if you're fatigued, period, then you can't think and you can't play. at least not to the best of your ability. So the objective here is let's get ourselves in shape, make sure we're in football shape. They're all going to come back in shape, but let's get ourselves in football shape, and both mentally and physically, so that we can perform at our best. And the guys understand that. I mean, that makes sense. So we try not to ask the guys to do anything that that doesn't make sense. And if they have a question, ask us. I mean, everything's got a purpose of why we do it, and ask if you don't know. So that's kind of how we go about it.
And with regard to Rashee Rice, what are you expecting in terms of the suspension?
Yeah, I don't know that, Adam. I haven't heard anything up to this point. So I just let all the people in charge do that, that are looking over that part of it.
And you talk about easing Worthy in. I mean, we talked to Patrick, and he just said there's no easing him in. Like, he's going to get that regular rookie, you know, water people fire hose.
Sure.
How important is that for young players to get?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's looking forward to it, actually, I think. So he wants to get in there and go. It was driving him crazy to have to watch. You don't want to be the number one pick, come in and be sitting on the bench, you know, and watching. So he's a competitive kid that wants to be in there, and we're going to get him going. We just, you know, we got to see how he's doing here. And like I said, in this rookie camp, these lines are short. So they're going to get plenty of reps. You just don't want him re-hurting the thing and setting himself back.
Andy, when it comes to the evolution of the offense every offseason, you know, what are your conversations like with Patrick to try to make sure that you're putting in different wrinkles and everything? How does that start here in camp and abroad?
Yeah, it actually starts in the OTAs. That's where you introduce all of the new stuff to the guys, and then you get reps on it now. So you get a few in the OTA, but now you get reps and reps and reps on that, on the new stuff. So it'll be great for the guys to be able to get that and kind of perfect some of these things that we've tried to incorporate.
All right, guys, we've got time for a few more. Let's go Lebo, Matt, Derek, and then Mick. Go ahead, Todd.
Coach, we see what a lot of your guys do in the offseason because they're on social media. You don't have a very big social media presence. I think you like it that way. But did you have some fun? And I know you like to work and draw plays. Did you have any revelations, any good stuff that you found in those hours?
I don't know about revelations. I'm not sure about that. but I had a chance to look at our stuff. I try to spend a little time doing that when I'm away, and I enjoy doing that part. And as far as relaxing, absolutely, I had a chance to do that, and I got a little sun and a little beach air, and that's good, right? So, but I'm ready to go, and I know these guys are ready to go. I know you're ready to go, man. That right in hand is ready to roll, man.
Matt? Coach, I believe you and the Raiders are the last two teams standing that don't do any joint practices. And you said before you don't want to give anything away for free. Is that kind of still your philosophy, or do you think you'd ever change on that?
Well, I think the way we go about it, I think we go fast, we practice hard, we do those things amongst ourselves, and the guys challenge each other, and I don't think there's a better way to do it if your guys are willing to do that. And our guys challenge, you know, they're up for that challenge. Plus, you're not giving things away, so you can't help but do that, and then you're not having those skirmishes that you get in some of these inner squad deals. And no matter how much you talk, it's still, you put on a different uniform, you're the enemy. It doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter if it's joint practices or not.
Last one, Mick.
I got a tough one. You gonna be in a movie? How are your acting chops?
I'm not real good at that, but I only had about 7 words. I could handle that. I can handle 7 words.
What was the line? Can you give us?
No, I can't. I'm under contract.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, he's under contract. He can't talk just like Alex Gold. Like Alex Gold, non-disclosure agreement. He couldn't talk about it either. But, man, it's good hearing Andy Reid. Means we're back. When you hear that, we're back.
When you hear Big Red, even though he's never been notorious for giving you the cream of the crop, it doesn't even matter.
The state of the Chiefs.
Just hearing him speak. Makes you get all fired up inside.
We know he likes St. Joe. We know he doesn't like to do practices with other teams.
Of course.
He and the Raiders are one of two teams not doing joint practices. And we've seen those, you know, in the past. He won't do them. They're going to continue to go away for training. And welcome back, Jay Binkley, on After Hours with Blake Snyders. producing the operation and jamming back there. No pool for you today, Blake?
No pool. I know I look like I just came from the pool, but okay. No, I did not get the pool. I had to work from home, so this is just my comfy clothes.
Well, you're not dressed much differently than I am.
Hey, well, we know how to have a good time.
You dress for the job you want.
We dress like we're ready for some back porch beers, man.
That's right. That's right. You dress for the job you want, my man.
Exactly.
From the 816, I would love for the Chiefs to go undefeated and win the Super Bowl, finishing the three-peat. Yeah, I think a lot of people would. I don't really, you know, going undefeated or whatever, just make the Super Bowl, win it all. That's what matters. But Andy Reid talks about all that and more, including Xavier Worthy. Looks like he's going to be a full go at camp, which is great news for the Chiefs. But here's Andy Reid's press conference when he's on the steps there of the dorm where the Chiefs are.
Well, good to see everybody back and ready to go. Just on the injury front, B.J. Thompson will start on NFI. He's still going through some procedures. He's doing great, but he's going through some procedures as we talk here. So he'll keep going with that, and then we'll have a keep you updated as we go. On the PUP list, Jalen Watson, Omenihu, Nadi, and Tooney will probably start on that. We still have a few days before all that goes on, but we'll just see where we're at with that. And really, those are kind of the main guys that were injured. Chanel will be up here. Nazi will be up here. And Worthy will be back. He's doing well. You just saw him come in. So he's doing well on his rehab from his hamstring. So all in all, listen, we look forward to being back here. We love the setup here with the people here treat us great at Missouri Western State University. And it's beautiful facilities. It's great to be able to get away and from the city and be able to house guys in the same dorm. And I'm saying this as a coach, they're probably not going to say this, but it builds a certain camaraderie as you go and you're eating together, you're sleeping in the same building together. So it's you can't help but talk to each other. And in today's world, that's a positive thing. So. Anyways, time's yours.
Andy, what are your expectations for the four guys on PUP that you listed when they might be back?
Yeah, I think they're all a little different. And listen, something might happen different by the time we get the vets in here and we have to do it. I was just giving you a heads up on kind of what we're thinking there on that as we start. So, but we'll see how they all, whether they get cleared or not cleared.
Specifically with Joe Tooney. I mean,
Joe's doing great. And he's close.
So you don't expect it to be long if he can't practice right away?
I don't think it will be, but we'll see, Adam. We'll just see how it goes.
Coach, is Xavier Worthy now a full go after missing the OTAs?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We'll ease him in. You know, we're not going to just give him every rep. So the lines are kind of short here, right? So. All right.
Following up on that, yeah. How valuable will this next 3 days be for a player like Xavier before the veterans arrive on over the weekend to just get reps and get timing with Patrick?
Yeah, this is great. I think it's great for all these guys just to get in and become familiar, go through it one more time, and before the veterans get in, everything's going 100 miles an hour. So it's slowed down. They'll get this same install, the first three installs for when the vets get in. So it's I think it's a real positive for everybody, and especially Xavier, who didn't have the opportunity to be out on the field, just going through those routes and doing what he needs to do there will also be positive.
I know you guys fight complacency, but how in the world, I mean, you guys went two straight Super Bowls, a lot of those guys back. How do you keep guys from to be hungry and still back?
Yeah, so I think we all know in the NFL, every year is its own year. And we've said that every year along the way here. And so you've got to stay on top of your game. You got to practice. You got to go through this camp and be in condition so you can perform well mentally and physically once the games come around. So it all starts from scratch. Happens over. We talked about it in the off season, and I think the guys will be ready to go.
How much do you rely on guys like Pat and Kelsey, your veteran leaders, to sort of get that message across?
Yeah, they're great with it. That's what I was saying before we had the break. I appreciate that leadership. Chris Jones, Bolton. I mean, these guys that have been around here, they do a nice job. When coaches, when players start helping players out and helping them understand what's going on, normally you have a pretty good thing going. And these guys, we're lucky to have that leadership.
How do you see that? Like, what specifically do you see that you like from those guys?
Yeah, they go 100 miles an hour and they make everybody around them go 100 miles an hour. So while the coaches are kicking them a little bit, the players are kicking them, and that peer pressure, there's nothing like that.
Andy, Coach, where does last year's like regular season sit as far as, do you mention that to the guys as an example for the ways you need to get better?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about it in the offseason. That won't be a big thing coming into this camp. The guys know we had our ups and downs. I just expect the young guys that were here last year to continue to build on what they finished with. I thought we finished strong on both sides of the ball and special teams. It's important that you, and we had a nice off season where we were able to practice some of the kickoff return stuff. And so let's pick up where we left off and get better.
Is it about Patrick that makes you know that he's just getting hungrier instead of more satisfied? What's inside him that tells you that?
The one great thing about Patrick is he's always going to work in his game, and then he always wants more. And so as coaches, you can't ask for more than that. And that's why we're in it. We're trying to give you one more nugget, Vahe, so you can be greater than you already are. Right? So that's what the great players do. They want you to dig as a coach and find something, man. Give me something here that can help me and become better than what I am.
And one other thing just is about where we're standing. I get the feeling if you guys had a 5-star hotel available right here, you wouldn't take it. You'd be here. And there's a reason for that. What is it that you get out of the Spartan aspect of this?
Yeah, well, listen, I don't want to slight the university because they've actually renovated here a little bit and done some things in here.
Against your wishes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I look forward to our meeting at the end of this where you guys get a taste of it. But the cinder blocks are still cinder blocks, no matter how you cut it. Well, I'm sure most of us have been in those buildings before, so we... that part hasn't changed. It seems like dorms are kind of that's the way they are everywhere. So,
is there something to that though? That it's like you want the conditions to be, you know, understood to be kind of grueling.
Yeah, listen. There's a certain toughness that this game, requires, and I think if you talk to the old veterans, they're going to tell you, well, it's not as tough as it used to be, but it's there's still a part of it that it's a tough guy sport and lady sport for where we're going with all the flag football and that. So we've got that part of it going, and it's important that you develop that. And if you're fatigued, then you're going to be fatigued mentally. If you're fatigued physically, that's going to affect you mentally. And if you're fatigued, period, then you can't think and you can't play. At least not to the best of your ability. So the objective here is let's get ourselves in shape, make sure we're in football shape. They're all going to come back in shape, but let's get ourselves in football shape, and both mentally and physically, so that we can perform at our best. And the guys understand that. I mean, that makes sense. So we try not to ask the guys to do anything that doesn't make sense. And if they have a question, ask us. I mean, everything's got a purpose of why we do it, and ask if you don't know. So that's kind of how we go about it.
And you talk about with regard to Rashee Rice, what are you expecting in terms of the suspension?
Yeah, I don't know that, Adam. I haven't heard anything up to this point. So I just let all the people in charge do that. That are looking over that part of it.
And you talk about easing Worthy in. I mean, we talked to Patrick, and he just said there's no easing him in. Like, he's going to get that regular rookie, water people fire hose.
Sure.
How important is that for young players to get?
Yeah, I think, he's looking forward to it, actually, I think. So he wants to get in there and go. It was driving him crazy to have to watch. You don't want to be the number one pick, come in and be sitting on the bench, and watching. So he's a competitive kid that wants to be in there, and we're going to get him going. We just, we got to see how he's doing here. And like I said, in this rookie camp, these lines are short. So they're going to get plenty of reps. You just don't want him re-hurting the thing and setting himself back.
Andy, when it comes to the evolution of the offense every offseason, you know, what are your conversations like with Patrick to try to make sure that you keep putting in different wrinkles and everything? How does that start here in camp and evolve?
Yeah, it actually starts in the OTAs. That's where you introduce all of the new stuff to the guys, and then you get reps on it now. So you get a few in the OTA, but now you get reps and reps and reps on that, on the new stuff. So it'll be great for the guys to be able to get that and kind of perfect some of these things that we've tried to incorporate.
All right, guys, we've got time for a few more. Let's go Lebo, Matt, Derek, and then Mick. Go ahead, Todd.
Coach, we see what a lot of your guys do in the offseason because they're on social media. You don't have a very big social media presence. I think you like it that way. But did you have some fun? And I know you like to work and draw plays. Did you have any revelations, any good stuff that you found in those hours?
I don't know about revelations. I'm not sure about that. but I had a chance to look at our stuff. I try to spend a little time doing that when I'm away, and I enjoy doing that part. And as far as relaxing, absolutely, I had a chance to do that, and I got a little sun and a little beach air, and that's good, right? So, but I'm ready to go, and I know these guys are ready to go. I know you're ready to go, man. That right in hand is ready to roll, man.
Matt?
Coach, I believe you and the Raiders are the last two teams standing that don't do any joint practices. And you said before you don't want to give anything away for free. Is that kind of still your philosophy, or do you think you'd ever change on that?
Well, I think the way we go about it, I think we go fast, we practice hard, we do those things amongst ourselves, and the guys challenge each other, and I don't think there's a better way to do it if your guys are willing to do that. And our guys they're up for that challenge. Plus, you're not giving things away, so you can't help but do that, and then you're not having those skirmishes that you get in some of these inter-squad deals. And no matter how much you talk, it's still, you put on a different uniform, you're the enemy. It doesn't matter, it doesn't matter if it's joint practices or not.
Last one, Nick.
I got a tough one. You gonna be in a movie? How are your acting chops?
I'm not real good at that, but I only had about 7 words. I can handle that. I can handle 7 words.
What was the line? Can you give us?
No, I can't. I'm under contract.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, he's under contract. He can talk just like Alex Gold. Like Alex Gold, non-disclosure agreement. He can talk about it either. But, man, it's good hearing Andy Reid. Means we're back. When you hear that, we're back.
When you hear Big Red, even though he's never been notorious for giving you the cream of the crap, it doesn't even matter.
The state of the Chiefs.
Just hearing him speak. Makes you get all fired up inside.
We know he likes St. Joe. We know he doesn't like to do practices with other teams.
Of course.
He and the Raiders are one of two teams not doing joint practices. And we've seen those, in the past. He won't do them. They're going to continue to go away for training camp as long as he's here because more and more teams are moving back home. I like it in St. Joe. I think it's great having training camp away, and I think it's fun. We'll react to Andy Reid coming up next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And welcome back. Jay Binkley, Blake Schneiders. They're doing the introductions now, so maybe it will start at 7 o'clock, Blake.
It's good to hear.
Had to do an update here. I'll try to keep an eye on the game, but when a Royal gets in, we need to talk.
Oh, we'll
about
be definitely doing some updates throughout the night.
From the 913, Bink, the NFL is a copycat league. Why are another team's going away to a small college for training camp? The thing is, they all pretty much used to. The trend now is them going back. So the Chiefs are kind of the outlier in that. The copycat league means most of these teams are going back to their home training facilities, where the Chiefs are the outlier. But to me, the Chiefs are doing things that maybe some teams need to be copying. Like this. Like that text line 913. Build that team culture, that big community. You know, these guys aren't going anywhere. They're together every single night playing video games, together hanging out. I mean, culture's a big thing with this team. I know he had NFL Network talking about the Chargers have a great culture. Well, doing stuff like that or doing like Camp Pat down in Texas where he's working out with the receivers, that stuff helps, man. And other teams and other quarterbacks are doing it. We saw even ex-teammates like Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf are throwing to each other and stuff like that. But nobody does like Camp Pat. I mean, that's a full-on camp that he has down there with all the different receivers. The Chiefs draft him. He works out receivers before they even draft him, if that's the direction they go, and gets the feel of the receivers. It was good what Andy Reid said about Xavier Worthy. He had that hamstring bothering him through OTAs. He's going to be counted on, man. Being a first-round pick, you don't want to sit out like Andy Reid said. Being the first-round pick, you're going to be counted on because the Chiefs were a wide receiver-starved team, in my opinion. Yeah, Hollywood Brown's here probably for just a year, and he was it. I mean, that was it. I mean, first round, they go Xavier Worthy, and they're counting on him big time because you didn't bring in any other receivers down the draft.
Yeah, and I think that was a big thing that a lot of people were worried about when they drafted Xavier Worthy was, is he going to be injury prone? Is this going to be another wide receiver who can't play 4, 5, 6, 7 games, half the season, whatever? ESPN updates in the background.
Done.
But
there's Bobby. They just introduced Bobby.
I'm glad to see that they are Worthy just needs to take care of himself. I'm sure he's never had the amount of professionalism that he's ever had in the training room that he's going to get at the NFL level. So what you need to do is take advantage.
I don't know, man. Texas is pretty advanced.
Well,
man.
That's true.
Texas is pretty advanced. You know, you can make an argument their facilities are actually better. Well, I think they are.
I think they might be. But as far as the professionalism and as far as probably the knowledge, the NFL level, you're going to stay at the NFL level if you're a trainer more than you're going to stay.
Well, he's counting on, just like I felt like last year, Rasheed Rice had more pressure on him than Sky Moore the year before. Because Sky Moore comes in, the MVS is here, Juju Smith-Schuster's here. Then boom, Rice was the big addition.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Richie James came here, but big deal. It was really Rasheed Rice. That was the big move last year.
And look what he did.
It's two, Hollywood Brown. Obviously a big addition to this wide receiver group, and drafting Xavier Worthy in the first round when they passed on Xavier Leggett. You passed on Keon Coleman. You know, you passed on A.D. Mitchell. And he's going to be held up to those type of guys. But, you know, to see that speed, to have that speed with Hollywood Brown there, and to me, he's a clone of Hollywood Brown. Because Hollywood Brown's probably just going to be here for a year. I've always said this. Brett Veach said this at his pre-draft press conference that, he says, we'll probably have, Xavier Worthy for a year. Or not Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown for just a year, and he'll move on because he's got a lot of incentive, and I love the way the Chiefs are doing it. You get these one-year prove-it deals, like Drew Tranquil the year before. Xavier Worthy's on a prove-it deal, and he's with Andy Reid as a play caller and Patrick Mahomes the quarterback. It's a perfect opportunity to go out there and make – those guys are going to help him make millions.
Well, the stars have aligned for Hollywood Brown. Just like you said, it's a prove-it deal. He has every –
The Perfect Storm. Remember that movie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He has every incentive to come in here and have – blow the roof off of this offense with 1,100 yards if he can get it, because he knows he's going to get big money on the back end, and what better quarterback to give him that than the best quarterback in the league, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. If the two-time league MVP as your quarterback, you have Travis Kelce taking some of that pressure off you in the middle of the field, you get Hollywood Brown on the other side, drawing extra coverage as well. Pick your poison.
Yeah.
CBS Sports just did the best triplets, and they put Kelce, Mahomes, and Pacheco back there as the best triplets in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah, they put them back to that. And, arguably, they're both going to the Hall of Fame. You can make the argument of GOATs if you want to. Travis Kelce, I think, has solidified that. Mahomes, a ways to go to be, I think, a lot of people's mind being considered the GOAT at quarterbacks. Obviously, the titles matter with Brady, but Kelce's already the GOAT, in my opinion.
100%.
He's done things that other tight ends haven't even sniffed doing. And then you got Pacheco that runs with wild abandon. And just hopefully third and short, that's the answer. Because if not, don't forget Carson Wentz. He's the backup quarterback. He's 6'5", 250 pounds. He led the NFL in efficiency in short yardage running when he's in Philly, and that's before they did the tush push.
Well, and if you look at the importance,
I'm not saying they're going to use him on third down.
No,
I'm just
understand.
Saying it's an option.
I get you, but if you look at the importance of the backup quarterback position in the Chiefs' offense, how many times in the last 3-4 years has that become a very important position in big time games in big time games down the stretch of the season? Pat needs a little break, or Pat gets hurt. You know, he's obviously got the ankle issue that's bothered him a couple of years, or even in the playoffs. You look go back to Chad Henne. It's times like that. Get a good backup quarterback. You're going to have a solid offense. Carson Wentz might be able to be used in this offense more regularly than any of the other previous pass backup quarterbacks.
Throw as well. You're talking.
Yeah, of course.
But they're very selective with their backup quarterbacks. They want that veteran presence.
Yes.
And you don't always have to be a superstar. It's usually somebody that's had some, issues along the way, and people have kind of given up on them. Hence Chad Henne.
Of course.
When he comes in here, Chase was here for a while too, but he likes that veteran. Nick Foles. Remember, as soon as Nick Foles was released by the Rams, Chiefs went out right out there and brought in Nick Foles to be the backup. We saw how good Nick Foles was going forward. Matt Moore, you know, was coaching high school ball. Andy Reid really good. It's not his job. I know people like Shane Buechele last year during the preseason and all that. It's not Andy Reid's job to develop a young quarterback. He's already got his guy, Mahomes. You know what? Develop a quarterback so he can go and play for another team and maybe beat you one day? Nah, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't need that development. Carson Wentz comes in here. He's trying to make money in this league and prove that he can do it. And again, in that Jaguars playoff game, Mahomes gets hurt. You need Chad Henne to do one thing. He goes 5 of 7. You just need a 98-yard drive. You got a 98-yard drive from Chad Henne, which is really one of the better moments of the Chiefs' history, to be honest with you. That's why he should never have to buy a beer in this town again. But he leads the Chiefs on a 98-yard drive in an important game in the playoffs. But that's why you got him, because you don't want to put a rookie out there, a second-year player, and have them pee their pants on the 20-yard line.
Well, and look what he did in the Browns game. Running for it on 3rd and 15, almost getting the first down, and then throwing it to Tyreek to solidify the game on 4th and 1.
Yep.
I mean, it's Andy Reid's job to not necessarily develop a young quarterback because he has Patrick Mahomes. It's bringing in a guy that he can trust without doubt. He doesn't have to worry about the backup quarterback position, and that's what he does great.
It's one of those that he really covets. The left tackle position, too, where he kind of, all right, in case of emergency, break glass like the Donovan Smith last year. It's going to be big on him this year because I think Kingsley, I mean, really, I mean, I think the Chiefs are counting on him to be the left tackle, and that's a rookie. So
that's what you guys have all been saying. I've heard everybody from you and Fesco and Klingler in the morning. I mean, everybody's been saying this about Kingsley. So
yeah, I think there's high expectations on him. Patrick Mahomes also talked today, the first day of camp, and he, of course, will talk about Xavier Worthy as well. And why he brought that TV, the two things he'll go over why he brought the TV the first time this year. But Xavier Worthy's expectations, Patrick Mahomes next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views.